It's a new morning, which means new mercies, new compassion with our God who doesn't change, but all things are always fresh, created, and new, and just the same as at His beginning. I want to speak to that end today. I feel that God has inspired me. My daughter sent us a little gift this week, and I want to show it to you. It's a reminder. It's a question that causes us to remember something about God. It's a question that is anything too hard for the Lord? Does anyone know the story where that question comes from? The first story is the story of a man whom God had called from his youth and his land of his nativity to go. Just get out of there and go. You go where I send you. Abram did that. He left and he went. That wasn't the end of Abram, though. Abram and his wife didn't have any children. Year after year after year, they didn't have children until she was 90 and he was 99. And looks like that they had pretty much given up on the hope of children. Today, people don't look at children in the same way that they did back there. But Abram and his wife considered children as a blessing from the Lord. God did it. God gave children. And when that blessing was withheld, they didn't accuse God of not being good to them, but they still looked to God for the blessing. Well, in Genesis 18, God visited them in their home. He came as Abram was sitting in the front door of his home, and his wife was in the tent behind him. And the Lord made a very, very special visit. The Lord, accompanied by two angels, walked right up to the front door and visited with Abram. Abram wanted to show hospitality. He had water brought and he bathed their feet from all the dust and maybe even sores or scratches that they had from walking up to Abram's tent through the desert. Abram got something for them to eat. He cared for them. And they stayed there a while with them, and they gave a special promise. The Lord visited and gave a special promise. In verse 9 of chapter 18, they said unto him, "Where is Sarai, Sarah, thy wife?" By this time, her name was changed to Sarah, and his name was changed to Abraham. Because of some things they had gone through, God had changed their names. He had changed parts of their personality and changed their names to fit what He had changed in their personality. So Abram was changed to Abraham, and he is now Abraham, and she is now Sarah, which means princess. So the Lord said, "Well, where is Sarah? You're sitting here." And did the Lord not know where Sarah was? Sometimes God answers a question because He's wanting us to give Him the thoughts of our heart and the answer to the question. The Lord said, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And Abraham said, "Behold, in the tent." And the Lord said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" What is she saying? Well, that's impossible. He says I'm going to have a son. The whole thing is impossible. That's what she's saying within herself. She laughed and said that within herself. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore or why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old?" And here's the question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now the Lord asked that at a time where it was ridiculous to Sarah and to Abraham both. This one is ridiculous, Lord, for a 90-year-old woman to have a baby. That's a ridiculous thought. And they just thought, Lord, surely you know. You made these rules. You made the laws. But the Lord was trying to get Abraham and Sarah to look beyond the natural and look at him and his power and his creativity and his ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." No, you did laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Well, that it goes on to the next part of the story, but this part of the story is for this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want you and I to ask that about anything in your life. Is there something in your life that you can't do? That's an obligation to you. You can't do. That you're asked to do. Or it's something that you need to do. I want us to ask ourselves this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, there was another place in the Bible where the Lord told a woman that she would have a son. Let's go there. Luke chapter 1. Said to the angel, then said Mary unto the angel, because the angel has just told her. Verse 30, Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now here is again an impossibility, and the Lord says it's going to happen. Now, Sarah had a husband, but with nature, the rules of nature, her body and his body was shut down. He could not conceive a child or bear a child. Here's Mary. She did not have a husband. There was no way. She said, how shall this be? There is no way. The Lord said, the Holy Spirit is going to visit you and implant a child within you. And the child that is going to be born is going to be the Son of God. Then he called her to notice what had happened with her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was like Sarah. Elizabeth and her husband were too old to have a child, and they had not had any children. And the Lord had blessed them to conceive a child, and Elizabeth was at that time getting ready to have a child. She was too old, but the Lord said, Mary, think about Elizabeth. And they knew about Abraham and Sarah. That was a story that they knew. And now he took her past Abraham and Sarah, a story they had heard of ages past. But he said, Mary, look at Elizabeth. And he says, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, that answers the question that the Lord asked Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered his own question. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Impossible would take in the meaning too hard, wouldn't it? Impossible can't be done. Too hard. But he told Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, this is her answer to that, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Handmaiden meant, I'm a hired servant. I'm just somebody that you can tell, go do that, go sweep that, go clean that. I just do what you tell me to do. With her, she was giving herself to the Lord right then. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. I don't know if Elizabeth hadn't felt the baby move at all, or if maybe this was a special movement. She had felt it. I don't know, but she felt the baby move in her womb. And to her, it was a rejoicing. It was a movement of victory. It was a movement of strength, of vitality. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. All this story is the different parts of it. It's so full of power And it's so full of worship. For as soon, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Look at what's happening here. Elizabeth is recognizing not only a pregnancy, but a child in the womb that is her Lord. That is God come to earth. The Word made flesh. Elizabeth is acknowledging it and praising and blessing God for it. And in turn, she is bolstering Mary's faith that what God had promised, He had done. Exactly what He had promised, He had done. Now, in the middle of these two women expecting children that were promised of God, there was a man who was a prophet in Israel. And I want to read this story now. I want to turn to Jeremiah 32. In Jeremiah 32, the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, your uncle is getting ready to come and see you, and he's going to ask you to buy his field. And so the Lord did that. He came and told Jeremiah that. And verse 8 tells how it happened, just like God said. A lot of this in the stories that we read today is going to be God saying, this is something that's going to happen. And then we're going to read how it happened, just like God said. Well, let's read verse 6. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle. Ah, Hanamel was his cousin. So his uncle's son, his cousin, came to him. So God said, your cousin is going to come to you, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Well, remember about property back then and how way down the line a person would find out that he owned a piece of land, or and it went with it, maybe even some people that went with that portion of land, and it was his inheritance. Well, this is saying, even though King Nebuchadnezzar has taken all the land, your cousin is going to come and say, Jeremiah, you've got some land that is actually yours by inheritance. No matter what King Nebuchadnezzar has done, God gave us these properties and said, that's yours. And I want you to buy it from me with a redemption price. And his cousin came to him just like God said. Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying. And so that's in verse 7. That's what God said. In verse 8, he tells that it happened. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, which is another preposterous thing. He came to a man in prison and said, here, buy this field from me. Why would a man in prison be able or want to buy a field? This whole thing was so impossible. But God came and said. In these stories, God came to these people and told them, impossible things were going to happen. Well, Jeremiah listened to him. The man, his cousin, came to him while he was there in prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine. And the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. And Jeremiah said, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. Silver was, back then, the kind of currency that was used to do these kind of things, to make these redemptions. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So he wrote the transaction down and wrote a receipt or a bill of sale. And he had that as evidence. This really did happen. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open. Put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord God, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. And he was talking about the children of Israel at that time. The children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt, which was a story well known to them. They had been promised the land of Canaan, and God gave it to them. It was a done deal. It was something that had happened. After they came into Canaan, God delivered it to them. He gave them that land. They had lived there for many years, but they turned away from God. They quit serving God, and they started serving the gods of the Canaanites and offering sacrifices and even giving their children as burnt offerings to them. He says that in this reading from verse 17 on down to 23. He said, they came in and possessed it, but they've not obeyed you, Lord. He's saying all this to the Lord. This is what happened. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts. They are come into the city to take it. And the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. All and what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans. So he's praying, Lord, this is what you did. You made the earth and the heaven by your outstretched hand. You delivered your children from Egypt. You delivered them the land of Canaan. They turned against you and didn't serve you. And you promised that if they didn't serve you. All of this was in Jeremiah's mind, just as real as when it happened. It was history that was well known. It was proven. God said this. And said this would happen and this would happen. And it's happened. It's happening right now. This is Jeremiah talking out of his place in the prison, answering his cousin, praying to God about it, showing Baruch the scribe the evidence that he had actually bought some land. The land had been taken by the Chaldeans, and they were fighting against the children of Israel. And Jeremiah is saying, God said this, and God promised this, and this happened. Now he's also promised that we're going to get the land back again. So here they are, they're at this stage. God had done this and this and this as he had promised. Now they're at a place where God promised, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to give your land back to you. And the children of Israel were at a time like, nah, it can't happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to be destroyed. And Jeremiah had told them many things. He had said, pray for the peace of the city where you're going. You're going to come back. God is going to bring you back. Now the Lord is talking to him and came and took this little object lesson. Said, Jeremiah, your cousin's going to come and ask you to buy some property. Buy it. Pay the money. I'm giving you this land back, just as I promised. And so Jeremiah said, there is nothing too hard for thee. That was his answer to the proposition of buy this land. See what happens, because I've said it. So Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for thee. And now God is saying, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? God made a promise. Well, he goes on, and he made more promises. In chapter 33, it's full of promises. Those promises came true. And a lot of them came true when Jesus was born. And when Jesus came as God's promised blessing. In chapter 33, let's look at verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then he gives his promise that he's going to bring back the city of Jerusalem, which had been taken. And we know that came true. 70 years God allowed his people to be captive, but he brought them back. He brought them back from all the places where they had been exiled. He brought back the city. He caused it to be built again. We have all that in the scriptures. We can read about it. It happened. Well, let's go back to 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Then he goes, touches the time of Christ. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is a name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests of the Levites want a man before me to offer burnt offerings. What is God promising here? God's promising a son of David that's going to come and be king and sit on David's throne. Who was that? That was this baby that was promised to Mary. Look what he says to Mary. We read it. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's the fulfillment of this promise that he made to Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. So many years had gone by and there hadn't been a son of David upon the throne. It was very much a temptation for God's people to say, not going to happen. He promised it, but it's not going to happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at what the Lord did with Mary. He came to Mary and said, your son is going to sit upon the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Look at how God fulfilled his promise and his word when he sent Jesus. He was the fulfillment of a promise made 1,000 years before. Remember the scripture that says, behold, 1,000 years is with the Lord as one day. To the people, oh, it's been so long, it's just never going to happen now. But to God, it was like the turning of a leaf of a page. One day. With God, he told Mary, nothing shall be impossible. I don't know how this is affecting you. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will cause these words to just blaze alive within you, that you will know whatever it has been that God has promised me in my life, and I'm waiting and I think, not going to happen. Don't give up on God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing shall be impossible. Just because there's a long delay, remember, there was a long delay in these scriptures that we're reading, but God brought it to pass. Nothing. These men said to God, or God said to these men, is anything too hard for the Lord? And Jeremiah answered back, nothing is too difficult for you. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy stretched out hand, and nothing is too hard for you. When God comes and gives you a promise, or you read a promise, I want you to remember these stories. They're in the Bible. There was proof. There was proof that Jeremiah believed God because he had a receipt. He had a written receipt. I bought this land. I paid the money. Here's the receipt. God is going to give the land back to us. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Mary came before her cousin Elizabeth, who also was bearing a miraculous child, who leaped in her womb, and her cousin Elizabeth said, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me? And that baby was the fulfillment of a promise made to Jeremiah so many years before. And there that baby was, right there in the womb. And this other baby leaped for joy at his presence, the presence of this promised Son of God, Son of the Highest. Oh, these things make my heart rejoice. God proved something to these people. He came and he fulfilled a promise that had been given so long ago. And his question to all of us this morning is there anything too hard for the Lord? Think about it this morning. A baby that shouldn't be. A baby that can't be. That's impossible to be. And here it is. The baby has been conceived. The baby is growing. It's alive. Land that was gone forever. But I just bought it. Here's the receipt. There's nothing too hard for God. God's going to come back at the time appointed, and he's going to give a blessing. What do we do now with our troubles and our problems? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, is there anything that's waited too late? We have a story in the Bible about that, don't we? The man was buried. The man was decaying. The people were afraid to open the grave. They said, can't do that. It'll be unbearable in here if you do that. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Even death could not stop our Lord. Death was not the final decree. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If it's God's will, God will do what he has promised. Elizabeth gave a promise to Mary. She gave an encouragement to Mary. As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. I want to tell us something. There is always a very great blessing when we believe God's promise to us. When we take it and say, just do according to your word. I'm just your servant and I'm giving myself to you. Elizabeth said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. Mary was very much blessed, and she gave an inspired praise here. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God thy Savior. He went on, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, even to Abraham and to his seed forever. Jesus was the fulfillment of all of the promises that God had given to his people. All the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Eve. Promise of a Savior. The promise of one who would bless them, lift them up, give them victory over their enemies. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to encourage us. As if we need more. But these stories have been given us in the Bible as proof. God has offered proof to us. He's offered evidence. He's offered assurance. Jesus came He was born. He was the son of David. He lived. He healed. He rose people from the dead. He healed the blind eyes. He healed the lepers, the cripples. He was the one who sat on his father David's throne. The disciples, as they preached about him after his death, resurrection, and ascension, they recognized him as that one who had been promised. And they recognized him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that kingdom will last forever. Why do I believe that? Because God said it. You and I this morning, we live because God has said. Because you this morning, you don't live because a doctor fixed you. You don't live because you eat the right foods. You don't live because you try to live. You live today because God has said. We live by every word of God that comes out of his mouth. This morning you woke up because God called you up. Because God said, you live today. I believe that. I believe that God is in control. That there is nothing impossible with God. Oh, we love him today. His word is true. Another story where Jesus himself gave this statement to his disciples. Jesus had talked to a man who wanted to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus told him, you're going to have to give up all your riches. The man said, I can't do it. Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he said to his disciples, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Well, let's think about this one now. This is not an impossible birth we're talking about. This is not land that was going to be given back, inheritance that was going to be given back after it was ripped away from him. Those things had already been done. Now, this is a spiritual change. This man thought, I can't give up my wealth. I've worked all my life for this. I can't do it. And the disciples thought, it's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to make this kind of change. Is there a change today that God is asking you to make? Jesus had asked this man to do this. To him, to that man, it was an impossibility. And Jesus said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. All I want to bring out of that is, if you look at situations in your life and you say, that's not possible for me to change. I can't give this up. I can't let go of this. This is part of me. There's no way I can change and be different. I want you to think about this. The things that are impossible for you to do, they're possible with God. You be like Mary and give yourself to God. There is nothing impossible for somebody who will give themselves to God. You give yourself to God and say, I'm just your servant. I'll do anything you want me to do. Just whatever your word says, let it be it done to me. I'm just here to do your will. Just do your will in me, Lord. God will do that. God will do his will. He will accomplish in your life what is impossible to you. I want us to believe God's word this morning. Believe it that he said for you to live. And whatever he says in your life today, he will accomplish it. There's so many scriptures that have been given to me of lately. I've read them, or somebody has written them and gave them to me, or I've read it myself in the Bible. All of these scriptures that say, can God lie? If he says it, will he not make it good? Is there anything too hard for him? There's nothing too hard for thee. Oh, all of these things are just building and building up in my soul. I want to live and believe this today. I want to live a life that says, nothing's impossible with you, Lord. I don't want to live a life that worries and frets about what God is doing. Is it possible for him to come again? Did he say he would? Did Jesus say, I will come again? Yes, he did. So there are people that go about, the Bible says, there will be people that go about saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There's no sign of his coming. But Peter said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is a promise. Sometimes we think, how could this happen? How will this be? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He holds it all together by his word. At his word, he can make it all melt or come apart. My dad used to say, and I'll just say it like that because I'm not sure where he read his information, but he said, scientists say that they cannot understand how the atoms hold together. But my dad would say, I believe it is God's word that holds the atoms together. I think he studied that at the time of the atomic explosion, that the United States dropped the atomic bomb over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Japan. All of that was in my dad's day. He studied it. And he said, scientists are not sure what holds all these atoms together. We're a people who believe in a God who does things that are impossible. He's done them before. He's fulfilled his word when things didn't seem like it could happen. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Oh Lord, I'm not doing this very well, but I pray you would cause these words to light upon us, that they would stir a fire in us, that we would believe in the impossible things that God can do. In Jeremiah 33, he said, call upon me, and I will show you mighty things that thou knowest not. That was Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want to invite us this morning, on everyday level, on everyday problems and needs, moments of need, I want to challenge you. Call upon the Lord for that need. For little tiny things in your life that you think, I can't do this. I don't have the strength for this. I don't understand this. I can't see this happening. You begin to call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. I've seen this week the Lord help me. I was asked to do an email, to send an email to someone. And by the time it got to where it had to go, I was not home with my computer. Well, I knew that somehow my phone, I was not able to send emails with my phone. I had tried many, many times. And I just said, this isn't possible. It can't happen. It's never happened. I cannot send an email with my phone. And here I was going to attempt to send an email that had already been sent. I was going to attempt to go into my sent folder, find that one, and resend it with my phone. I just thought to myself, I thought, it won't happen. But I called on the Lord. And I went to my email and my phone. I sent it as a forward, and it happened. It reached the person it was supposed to reach. She immediately sent me back a message and said, I got it. I said, praise the Lord. That was not supposed to happen. That's a miracle. God did a miracle for me. And other things this week. Miracles. I believe there is nothing too hard for God. We limit Him because we choose things out of our life and say, God can't do this for me. And we limit that ability, but He is not limited. If we will take away our attitude and our unbelief, if we will say, behold the servant of the Lord or the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, if you've said it, it will happen. If you say and you promise, I believe you. And the Lord, it's not like a magic formula or something. We don't have any might. And I want to show you something where Jesus told us in John 15. In John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now listen to this, for without me you can do nothing. So here's the connection. Without him, this won't work. This technical difficulty can't be surmounted. I can't do this without him. But now let's look over here. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See the difference? This is what we must believe from day to day. Without him, I can do nothing. Believe that. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have whatever it takes to cause that person to change. I don't have the strength to change myself. But with Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, now this takes us to a place in our lives of how prayer works in us. We come to the place of impossibility. We meet it with the belief, the knowledge, the assurance that if I call on the Lord, it is not impossible. He will help me. He will make this happen. It's his. The battle is his. One place he said, you shall not even need to fight in this battle. For the battle is not yours, but God's. So, we can call on him. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Yes, Lord. So, we don't just say, okay, I'm going to try this. But we say to God, I know that you can do this. I know that you have promised in your word that you will save me. I know that you have promised to strengthen me. I know that you can cause this wind to cease. I know, Lord, that this belongs to you. You made the rules. You can change the rules. You can give strength where there is no strength. You can help us because I've seen you help us before. Lord, this is an impossibility, but it's not too hard for you. There is nothing too hard for you. Develop and nurture a faith in the one who can do all things, nothing too hard for him. But we want to have that faith. Thank the Lord for his salvation. God has promised to save. He has promised to deliver when I call upon him. He has promised to answer me. He can change me. He can change the way I think. He can change things in my body. He can change my soul. He can wash away sin. There's nothing too hard. There's no sin that's too hard for him to forgive, to clean, to deliver from. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. So I want to encourage you today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I want you to answer within yourself. You don't have to answer me. But if there is anything in your life this week, face it with this thought. There is nothing too hard for you. Face it with, if God says it, He will do it. And plead His promises. Plead God's promise. Trust His word. Plead His precious name. Believe in. Remember that man that sat at the gate and Peter and John came to him? And that man said, I just need some money. Give me some money. And Peter said, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And what did Peter have? He had a faith to offer that man. And so later when the people asked, Peter said, he talked about Jesus and he said, this name, through faith in His name, has made this man whole. If we call upon Jesus' name, is there anything too hard for Him? I believe we can answer today, no. I can call upon His name. Plead His precious name. Say, Lord, Heavenly Father, I'm asking You in the name of Your Son, Jesus, who came to bless my soul, who came as the answer to the promise that You gave Your children 1,000 years ago. Through that name, I'm asking this request in Jesus' name. And then that prayer, when you begin to see, God is helping me. God is making me able. God just did that. Immediately begin to praise and thank Him. Thank You, God. Praise Your name. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's how we live our lives, with calling upon His name, praising His name all the day long. For every situation, there's a prayer, there's a praise. Nothing is impossible or too hard for the Lord. Well, I know I about wore it out for you, but I want us to be thankful this morning, believing, praising Him. Continue to do that in your life. As you go from one problem to the next, bring it to the Lord. There's nothing too hard for Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. I can do nothing without Him. This isn't a call to self-assurance and self-confidence. This is a call this morning to a devoted, consecrated faith in Jesus Christ. I belong to You, Lord. There's nothing impossible to You. You can help me with anything. You can help me with this problem. This isn't supposed to happen, but I believe that if I give it to You, You can cause it to happen. Praise the Lord.